So on this feast day of the body and blood of Christ, at the end of Mass, after communion, we'll expose the Blessed Sacrament on the altar in the monstrance, and we'll sing the O Salutaris, an incense, and then we'll have a little procession just inside the church here, and then close with benediction. So just to give you a little foretaste of what's coming. I don't know how much traveling you've done or looking at churches on the internet or whatever, but in France, there's the famous and beautiful Chartres Cathedral. It took 26 years to build. In Rome, if you go to Rome, there's St. Peter's Basilica, right? It took 120 years to build. Sagrada Familia, the Sacred Family in Barcelona. Pope Leo was there dedicating their last big tower. It's taken 140 years to get to this point. Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, if you remember in 2019, it burned down, right? The internet told me the other day that it took $740 million to rebuild that. Why does the church spend so much effort building such grand and monumental churches? You might say there's some hubris and arrogance in that. That might be true. We're certainly human. That can be a part of it. But it's interesting when we look at the houses of worship built for Protestants after the Reformation. They were, and they still are today, pretty bare bones, pretty darn plain. They're large meeting rooms. And I guarantee that they had just as much hubris and arrogance as Catholics. Human nature doesn't change with religion. We're the same in that regard. But there is a really important thing that's different. The real presence of the Most Holy Eucharist. Catholic churches are not just venues to gather and sing songs and listen to the Word of God. Important as that is, Catholic churches are where the once for all, world-changing, life-changing, sacrificial offering of Christ's body and blood is represented here on the altar. It's where the sacrament of His body and blood is given to us in Holy Communion. And it's where the true and living bread from heaven is reserved in the tabernacle. We build churches to honor the living presence of the Holy Eucharist. This is not just a venue, as beautiful as this is. This is a temple. It's the house of God. How awesome is this place? Not because of the stones or the beauty of the artwork, but because of the powerful presence within these walls of the King of Kings. If He's not really present here, then all this is a waste of time and money and artistic creativity. Save it for the theater. But those church artists over the centuries were not just full of hubris and arrogance. They weren't aiming for human applause. You get that elsewhere. They were aiming much higher. They were doing their artwork in stone, in glass, in wood. I think of the Knights of Columbus, all the effort and time and money that they've put into the refinishing the doors on our church, in oil, paintings, in fabric. Why? To please and honor the Most High. To adorn the temple for His body and blood. In the first reading from the book of Deuteronomy, Moses says twice, not just once, but twice, that God fed you in the desert with a food unknown to your fathers. He says that twice to emphasize it. When God acts, it's not same old, same old. When God acts, it's new, it's unknown, it's amazing. For centuries, people have tried to find a natural explanation for the manna in the wilderness. They come up with some pretty good and interesting ideas about that. But the scripture is clear that it was provided by God. It showed up for 6 days, but not on the Sabbath. If they tried to keep it for 2 days, it got wormy, except on the Sabbath. And it was never seen before or after their sojourn in the wilderness. The manna was so important that God commanded Moses to put some in a jar and to keep it perpetually in the Ark of the Covenant, right alongside the Ten Commandments. When God does something, it's important. And the manna was God's doing. In the gospel, we're told that the Jews, they got into a big argument over this teaching of Jesus on the bread of life. If he were just saying that this bread is a symbol of my body and a symbol of the offering of my death on the cross, then what's there to argue about that? Why would they get so upset that many of them actually left him, rejected him, and no longer followed him? What's the big deal? Jesus is clear that the manna in the Old Testament, that was the sign, pointing to the reality of his flesh and blood as true food and drink. If even the sign was a big deal, how much bigger a deal would the fulfillment of the sign be? Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. And that's so important. The goal isn't bread and wine becoming his flesh and blood. That's the means. An incredibly powerful, majestic, and beautiful means to get his life within us. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. In every Eucharist, there at the altar, the priest stretches his hands over the bread and the wine and prays for the Holy Spirit to come down and change them into the body and blood of Christ. But later in prayer, the priest prays that through our reception of the body and blood of Christ, that you and I may be transformed into one body, one spirit in Christ. The bread and the wine become the body and blood of Christ so that you and I should become the body and blood of Christ. That's what our world needs more than anything. For you and me to be the body and the blood of Christ to the rest of the world. And this is where it happens. St. Paul talks about this union in the Holy Eucharist as a participation. He says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? We take him within us, but we become part of him. The more we take him within us, the more we grow in our participation in him. And we want to do this with love and reverence and respect and devotion. We don't have to be afraid of him. He wants to be consumed so that he can be within us, so that we can belong to him. The church would not go to so much trouble to build such a monument for a piece of bread. But for the bread of life, that's worth it. The Blessed Sacrament is unique, and it can only be found in a Catholic or an Orthodox church. Over the centuries, Christians have deemed the Eucharist worth the cost and labor of grand temples. The Eucharist has been worth creating the greatest art for. The Eucharist has been worth living and dying for. Do you want the bread of Christ, the bread of life, within you? Here's the homework for the week. If you receive Holy Communion today, then strive this week to be super mindful of the life of Christ that you carry within you. As St. Augustine says, become what you eat.